Now, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Wherever you find yourselves, dear Namibians, dear listeners, fellow Windhoekers, I don't care about the other urban areas of the country. You know where you are. We're currently here in the capital, but as expectedly, you know, we are here on your number one talk radio station, and this is your business and economic zone discussion. Now, for tonight's discussion, guys, we're going to be centering on a very interesting discussion point, and I'm also going to have our good buddy Kanjengo Kamgonyoka on the line. I'm just giving him a little bit of time to get home. In terms of talking about cultural tourism for tonight's discussion point. Now, the interesting thing is about cultural tourism is that it provides a vibrance. It provides a very, you know, lively kind of sort of like element to traditional or what you would consider tourism to be. You know, tourism, if you take it in Namibia's sense, it's all about seeing, sightseeing, visiting various geographic locations within the country, because obviously not all geographic locations are the same, visiting, seeing different kinds of towns, and just experiencing various kinds of elements that are included like in a cultural setting. Because traditionally, if you had to consider what tourism and culture featured like, culture was like the automatic addition to the word tourism. Meaning, if you had to look at homogeneous settings, or heterogeneous settings. Heterogeneous settings is where they look the same, you know? And in that same regard, you had the aspect of, and what I mean is in the sense that there was one language, one kind of peoples that is found in a specific country. You know, for example, like going to France, or going to Italy, or going to Germany, or going to China, Japan, you know, South Korea. Those kinds of tourist settings, because you find one language and you find one kind of person of a specific, you know, ethnic background in that same space. Now, in Namibia, South Africa, well, let's say Southern Africa for that matter, you find a different space. You find a different discussion topic taking place. With that in mind, and this is where Kanjengo comes in, because Kanjengo had a very interesting article in one of the recent Villager e-paper editions, writing about specifically one researcher who signaled that cultural tourism is potentially that one key in terms of reviving Namibia's tourism industry. Now, we've got to consider, guys, some of the aspects. And because he's only going to come, I'm only going to call him at about like quarter to seven for that matter. And we are going to have a look at some of those key aspects, because tourism in one part of the world is not similar to tourism in another part of the world. And I'm going to include another aspect with regards to this tourism discussion, because it's key in understanding what can make Namibia that much more appealing to an international visitor. Now, before that, we're quickly going to step into a short break. From the break, I'm going to come right back, and we get into the discussion points before we head to Kanjengo for that matter. Stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station, and this is the Business and Economic Zone on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not pick up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Hello, Namibia.
Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now we come back in this edition, this the discussion point of the Business and Economic Zone, and where we find ourselves, guys, and just giving you some background information with regards to our discussion. Now, cultural tourism is, in its most basic understanding, cultural tourism is about the visitor experiencing, learning, discovering, the experiencing part is already there, consuming the tangible and intangible cultural attractions or products in a specific destination. Now, what this pushes towards is the aspect with regards to, you know, looking at the various groups, that's now the various ethnic groups in the country, and the potential that each one of them can provide to a visitor. Ideally, also, if you have to look at the layout of Namibia, meaning you take a look at the map of the country, each region that's where the strategic placement even comes in. It is even more strategically placed in order to provide said function to said visitor. Because the thing here is, each visitor will know that if they drive to various regions, and within each region you can even get like further, distinctions even in terms of culture, customs, norms, and various other tourism activities that can only be found in said region or said area within the region. Now, as we are about to bridge over, and this is just after this next ad break that's creeping up on me right now, we are going to have our dear friend and our dear guest, Kanjeka Kambonyoka, on the line, and then we're going to discuss and get into the nitty-gritties with that discussion. Stay tuned.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika no mpito domgara mokagura mkisige meke, ramangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maoko uko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kukuruga na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro lieyo wamba zuma okoko, zimo guanakuma pukuro gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massive?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one.
Now, as we come back from our short break right there and getting right in to the important stuff of our discussion tonight, I welcome on air, and you might have heard him. It might have been a long time since you've heard him. Kanjengo, welcome, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, man. That sounds like I'm a famous guy, bro.
Nah, I'm more like a celebrity, right?
No, man. Good evening to you, Dwight.
Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, you're joining us tonight for a very interesting and very uplifting discussion, because I have to call it uplifting. This is taking a look at cultural tourism. Now, tonight, we are actually switching it up a little bit from the usual sort of like template that we've been operating on. But for tonight, you know, you can share with our listeners in terms of this cultural aspect. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Mm-hmm. Does Namibia have this potential? And I'm going to call it a hybrid aspect, because usually tourism features in you just going to the place, seeing the place, eating a little bit of food, but it's not to be considered, it's this kind of specific food in the country or in a specific part of the country. No, it's just Namibian food, or it's just Namibian way of experiencing life and just seeing more sunlight. Can we call this a hybrid approach, and can we call this an unlocked potential first off?
And, you know, if you dig deeper, like on what you just said, that yes, people do come here, and when they go into specific places, they are asking certain type of food, right?
Mm.
Like, I want to eat this and this, or I heard about this.
Mm.
So most of those food that you're asking about, you are asking them because you heard that, the people in the southern side of things, they cook this type of things.
Mm.
The people on the other side of the eastern side of the country, they cook nice spinach.
Mm.
So you are literally digging in the cultural or in the traditional ways of people. Mm. You want to explore that. You know, tourism is broad, right? Tourism is just not about sight, right? Mm. It's not just about sight.
Yeah.
No, it's about experience.
Mm.
It's about feeling. It's about what you eat. It's about, you know, where you sit, where you sleep.
Mm.
And in terms of culture, in terms of tradition, there is so much now that we haven't been exploring.
Mm.
Or we have been exploring it. We just don't pinpoint that it's cultural tourism that is attracting people. Like, I literally want to go to Katima, but I'm interested in the way they live, on the language they speak, on the things they dress, and on the different spinach that they cook beyond like my northern people. My northern people, we have only like three types of spinach, but my Katima people, they have some different sort of spinach that they have.
Mm.
But the main reason I'm going there is I want to know their cultural things that they do.
Yeah.
And their traditional ways of doing it,
yeah.
The type of food, the type of dance, all those are all related to cultural stuff that have been preserved all those years.
Mm.
So, and that is just something that most of people, they just talk about Namibia, no, we are going to see the source flag, we are going to see what. No, we have more than ethnic language in our country, or even more than that, many.
Yeah.
And they offer different things that we can explore. Like some of us, I'm not as crazy as you are. You want to climb things and you want to jump. No.
I'm done. I'm past the climbing.
No, I'm not that.
Yeah.
So I'm the type of guy, like, I want to listen to stories.
Mm.
I want to listen to your kings. How did you guys fight the war? How did you guys manage to do this and that?
Yeah.
So I want to listen to that oral history, which is not presented in the books.
Yeah.
Like for the Mbukutus, for the Nyembas, for the Dembas.
Mm.
There is no oral history of how they used to do things. Mm? Until now, I cannot capture why the Dembas and the Nyembas still do not want to dress this type of clothes we're dressing. Mm. They're still putting on their attires.
Mm.
And they present beautiful stories and cultural stories.
Mm.
And in a nutshell, that is cultural tourism that I myself actually I would love to see.
Yeah.
So those are all now things that our country offers, but when you come to our community, it was never really been explored. Thank you. It was really never explored that they offer these oral history.
Mm.
They offer this type of food.
Mm.
They offer this way of living, which is unique not only to Namibian people, to other Africans,
yeah.
to the European, to the Chinese. And it's a concept which is actually out there, but it's not well explored for the benefit of the rural community. So it's part of the rural economy concept that I keep talking about, but we barely look at it and explore it at the level where it's supposed to be explored. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
No, but Kanjengo, I want to bring in a very interesting point because you've been mentioning things that I've been seeing a lot. That's not even in the advertising background that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, I saw the most weirdest advert, but I saw it on TV, and it was about South Africa. You've seen those, you know, Visit South Africa campaign ads that we even have here in Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
And in those ads, they're speaking about the same things that you just mentioned now, you know, going to a specific part, visiting a specific part of the country that you haven't seen, you want to experience. The cultural sort of like what the culture has to offer in that specific area, and even the food, enjoy, talk to the people, see how they are, and just get the way of life. Now, in that same space, can Namibia do something similar? Can we offer something similar? Can we even do it a little bit better than even our southern neighbors?
Definitely. Look, we are struggling with the type of growth I'm looking for is the type of growth that the translator that get down to my grandmother in the village.
Yeah,
I'm looking for the type of growth that actually it goes straight to those people in the villages.
Mm.
We not all of us need to come to Windhoek.
Yeah,
so this cultural tourism is literally a commodity that it can be utilized for rural economic development.
Mm.
It play a bigger role than beyond just the rural people supplying raw material to urban area. They can also offer something else.
Yeah.
There is so much in our villages there. There is so much there beyond Rehoboth, beyond Hobabis, going outside of those places.
Mm.
You get to experience something different. And there is a commodity, Dwight.
Mm.
And as a country, we have this problem. I'm including myself in.
Mm.
We have this problem of commodifying beautiful things that we have.
Yeah.
It's a problem that we face. From mango, from to embe, to water, to all these beautiful things that we have. Making them into a commodity. A commodity is something that command a price when you're going to utilize it to eat it.
Mm.
And that is something that you've been struggling to do as a country.
Mm.
And now at this juncture where we are talking about rural economic development, the things that we actually do to empower these people rather than just saying, no, they should go to Windhoek, they should go to where. Now there is this thing that we can actually do. And it will not require so much money or so much capital because
it's already there.
It's already there. The oral history is there.
Yeah.
The food, the places, and the cultural attires, these are things that are already there. And they do not require so much capital. They just require preservation and awareness for people to be made aware of what they have and how it is a gold that needed to be mined, but not to be exported to South Africa in this time, to be mined and to be kept and to be utilized in a mainstream economy.
Exactly.
That's basically it.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, you...
But
well,
yes, Dwight,
the thing... Kanjengo, can you hear me?
Yes, can you?
Yeah.
All right.
Kanjengo, can you hear me? Now, on that note, guys, we will be coming back after this short break. But in the meantime, just having a look at that specific discussion. And the discussion is based upon, ultimately, the, you know, the importance and how this value can be generated from the local, that being the various groups in our country, and how it can be capitalized on. Now, ultimately, we'll get Ken Jingo back on the line, but ultimately, we'll be right after this short break.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position mm-hmm. to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM. Let's see.
Now, coming back from our break, and as we got Ken Jingo back on the line, Ken Jingo, sorry for that. The technology was somewhat working against us, the two of us in our discussion. But where you left off, you were talking about something that was very important in terms of your last argument.
Yes. It is indeed very important, and what I'm saying is that, yes, for us, we can do better than what South Africa is doing, and we can attract more than South Africa is doing. Do you know what? Because we have what South Africa doesn't have, our peace and stability, the violence cases in our village, those things, you don't hear people being mugged at our villages. You don't hear such a type of things that are happening in South Africa, happening in Namibia. And meaning that in Namibia, you can explore to deeper in the villages.
Yeah.
And you're not going to experience any type of violence or any type of things. No. And I can say this. I've been living in different cultures. I can testify to that. I've been in Kunene. I've been in Omaheke. I've been in the South. I experienced the different cultures where... And it's not just because these people are like me. We don't speak even the same language. So, and that is something that we as a country, we keep talking about that. Yeah, the peace and stability. Peace and stability is also a commodity that we can actually use collectively with other commodities and come up with something tradable for all people. So we, as a country, we can literally utilize the cultural tourism than better than South Africa. I can tell you, Dwight, I don't want to go to South Africa.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, it's one of the countries, like in Africa, I wouldn't want to go to. And those type of sentiment is not only me who have it. And it's not because I hate South Africa or something. No, it's just the things that I read about them, the violence and other things.
It's a safety element, right?
It's a safety element. Yeah. And that is one element that Namibia keep performing beautifully. And I'm proud of ourselves when it comes to that. So, And now that is a benefit to all people that are deeper in the villages to utilize or to commodify or to sell this cultural tourism that they are offering. And it's actually now a pity. It's something which is very hurtful that I've been observing when I go to the village. Most of us now are destroying the way that we used to build our houses and things like that. But if we can preserve some of these houses for cultural tourism, if we can make it aware... Yeah. To create awareness that if you have this Tatekulu or Mekulu house of yours and it was built a long time ago and you have all these beautiful things, structures that you are offering, present it. Turn it into a tourism hub. Advertise it where people like me can come and sit and explore how you guys used to live.
Yeah. Ken Jingo, just hold on for me. We're really stepping into a short break and coming back.
All right.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, coming back on that note, Ken Jingo, just that last point you made there in terms of the safety element. obviously this is something that comes through from, you know, from our political stability, from the various peace that you even get, and also somewhat peaceful atmosphere that you find in the other urban areas, in the other, meaning the other regions specifically. But
and don't just say political. I'm sorry to say to cut you. Don't say political. No, say the people themselves. Say us.
Yeah, the society, the greater society.
Yeah, it's the society, it's the people, we ourselves, that are so good people. So a lot of people attribute the peace and stability that we have to politicians. No. Most of the people, I don't attribute even some of these things to them. Like, really, I can say 70% of the peace that we have is because of us, ourselves.
Yeah.
We are good people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can continue now.
Now, on that note, Kanjengo, if we pull from them, the latest country that Namibia has somewhat, you know, has signed, you know, that bilateral agreement in terms of where they don't actually need a visa anymore is with Russia, even though Russia is now currently being portrayed as the bad guy by international media and the NATO affiliates. Is there potential for Namibia itself to develop further tourist markets? Because Russia itself is a big one, but you don't see much Russians in Africa. Not, you know, and I'm not talking about Russians in the sense of like them just coming for holiday. Is there potential for us to expand into other markets as well?
Look, definitely do I. Look, Africa is, to me, it's a cultural hub for tourism. It's a hub for cultural tourism. Because most of those countries are modernizing, are becoming more urban.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this. Now you destroying the village, so you build a hotel so you can attract American or wherever. Those people are already coming from 5-star or 10-star hotels.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense if you're destroying a village to build a hotel for them to come and sleep in when they are coming from the best hotel. And that is now the narrative that we somehow have to change, that those people are coming to experience something different.
Yeah.
You can't offer them luxury. They came from luxury already. That is when we somehow need to be a bit creative or smart, that we don't have to modernize our villages, especially those villages that still have preserved their cultural stuff. You can turn that into a cultural commodity because people want to experience something different apart from how they live. They want to see, they want to taste, they want to listen. But the mentality that we just now have, sending every village into a local authority, then destroying and building all these brick and mortar stuff. Yeah, I'm somehow saying that we are losing something that we actually supposed to monetize and derive revenue on. As we try to come up with different economic sectors, it's just not about copper all the time or diamond.
Yeah.
We and those are all controlled by international market. We have something that we can control ourselves here, and that is our cultural, our heritage, our tradition, and those are like fat cake chief.
Yeah,
a lot of people are traveling to see those type of things. Yes, there are those that want to see the tallest building, but there is just something that you see once and you're like, okay, cool. Oh, he's tall. Oh, he's beautiful. But culture chief, the experience you're going to feel, you know, people travel around the world just to go in some weird stuff, in, you know?
Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, in all this, right? In all this, usually our focus as Namibians is to try and cater for international visitors. Is there also an onus on us Namibians to support each other's cultural tourist activities in this regard, because it's all about for those Namibians that have never seen certain parts of the country and they would like to experience for one or other manner in terms of various kinds of settings. Would that also help? Because the major discussion had always come out because of the COVID pandemic, that the Namibian appetite for local Namibian tourism was quite a very low, very subdued one. It was only the Erongo region that constantly kept enjoying it, as well as then also some of the northern regions. That's now, if you had to look at migration trends, like people currently now, from now up until end of the year, constantly going to the north because of wedding seasons and so on, as it has been coined already, the wedding season element. Should this also be one supporting element, market that has to prop up, support cultural tourism in this regard?
like you mentioned, few very important things.
Mm.
Very, very important things.
Mm.
Look, you know, I was involved during COVID in a survey regarding this tourism thing.
Mm.
Most of all these outlets in the tourism sector, they were carried by local travelers.
Mm.
They actually supposed to say thank you to local people.
Yeah.
And there's always been this sentiment that yes, local people don't travel, all these funny things.
Mm.
But they were literally carried by local people. And yeah. I can testify to that because this is modern Arab establishment from the central to Kunene to even from Kampala.
Yeah.
People were carried by local people. So it means that yes, there is an appetite for people to travel.
Mm.
The only problem is it's just the purchasing power of people. It's just the income level of the people. But people want to travel.
Yeah.
So definitely, yes. And the main reason they got a lot of people is because they have adjusted their pricing. If you look at our tourism establishment, their pricing is... It's not based on the Namibian people. So it's not inconsiderate of the purchasing power of the Namibian people, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's mostly targeting the European because that's where they get the premium.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, the appetite is there, and we needed to do more to encourage local traveling because people want to travel.
Mm.
But on another thing that you said, very, very important, is that most of the people that travel in Namibia, they only go to a wrong region.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is where the ocean is.
Yeah.
And as we said earlier now, that is where now we can diversify our tourism, or our tourist destination, the type of thing that get to be visited.
Mm.
When people are going to the north, or when they are going to Kavango, and when they are going to the east or to Kunene, it's because they are just going home.
Yeah.
Not people who are going there to travel.
Exactly, yeah.
And that is something now that we can actually change that, yes. As you mentioned that, yes, we have different cultures, and the diversity of our ethnics or our people is amazing,
yeah.
And it offers so much to be seen or to be known.
Mm.
Then we can change the narrative that yes, you only go there not for wedding.
Mm.
You know, if you ask a lot of Nama people or Herero or others that okay, or Vambos that have you been in you know, Maheke? They're like, no, I was only there for a wedding.
Oh, I was only there for work or just driving through to Botswana even.
Yep, we can now change that. That yes, there is so much. There is so much in Omaheke. There is so much in Ojujundupa. And I was there, like, I was fortunate enough to be taken by old man to his farm there in Ojujundupa, somewhere deep.
Mm.
And you get to experience, man, just there, the fire is something else. It's amazing, bro.
Mm.
And this is something that we need actually to cultivate or to make people aware. You will get to experience all the beautiful stuff through this cultural tourism. So it's a big deal. It is a commodity. We just need to create awareness and to enable our people to travel.
Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, before we head into sort of like our final stretch here on the program, I wanted to talk about, you know, sort of like the dynamics in terms of the market, the tourism market in Namibia. Much of the reliance had always been about the one aspect, the one dynamic being the international visitor. And as the COVID pandemic had indicated, if you take away the international visitor alongside air travel, it's our market somewhat implodes. Technically, it just falls flat. It doesn't even implode. It just falls flat. This dynamic, do you think there's perhaps one other way we can try to support this a little bit more? And it's now I'm trying to stay away from, you know, ensuring that Namibians can visit themselves and support the local market a little bit better. Are there any other sort of like tactics, factors that can be incorporated to assist the tourism market as well in order for us to start practicing cultural tourism as well?
Look, I keep using the word fortunate. Yes, I was fortunate enough again during that time.
Mm.
There were engagement between the UNDP and the Minister of Environment.
Mm.
And one of the things, because I attended some of this consultation, one of the things that we were making noise about that is we can find ways to supplement ourselves in a long run by encouraging local and regional tourism.
Mm.
And we came up with solution, we came up with suggestion that can be actually utilized. Because, look, Dwight, I grew up in a family where we don't travel.
Mm.
There is no such a thing as traveling like for fun.
Yeah.
No. So it means that you have to change the culture that I have. You have to change my culture.
Mm.
As much as I see it as fun, as much as I love traveling, not everybody, because we grew up in a different culture where traveling for as a luxury does not exist.
Mm.
So it means that you have to change the mindset of people to offer them to offer them that it is possible.
Mm.
But you have to make it a bit affordable because people are already struggling.
Yeah.
So the solutions, we suggested them. We gave them to the Minister of Environment. There was even a conversation to come up with a tourism strategy. I don't know where it ended. I don't know where it ended because we provided solutions. We gave suggestions, like really, really tangible. That and actually, it involved all these tourism establishments.
Yeah.
That this is how we can assist.
Mm.
Because we know it's a cultural thing that, yes, I don't travel. I know that. My Grenadian used to travel for fun, unless he's visiting somebody or going to, how do you call this, when somebody dies?
Yeah.
But my generation and the smaller generation love traveling. They love to do things.
That is true. That is true. Because ultimately, if we have to look at the, like I mentioned, the main sort of like attractions that even I grew up with, people were always talking about, if you were coming from the south, it was always Windhoek. Mm. If you were in Windhoek, it was always to the coast. If you were one of the sort of like rich, I'll call it rich because these were people that were owning farms. If you were some of the affluent Namibians that had a farm, you would go to the farms on weekends. And if you were like some of the migratory Namibians, meaning Namibians coming from other parts, working in the capital, you would actually be going back home. For you know to go rest. So in that same sense, is it consumption patterns that needs a little bit of changing?
Look, the people want to consume.
Yeah,
and this is the funny thing about understanding consumption. Do I, like, you know, when people are talking about consumption, they think it's only about the goods and whatever what you are eating.
Yeah.
No, consumption. Also, tourism consumption. There is tourism consumption, and the consumption patterns are changing. And people want to consume these different types of goods or services.
Mm.
But unfortunately, we are not doing enough to supplement some of this consumption pattern of our people, knowing at the level where they are.
Mm.
Some of these consumption patterns and trends, they need to be initiated.
Mm.
They need to be supported.
Mm.
They need to be. Like subsidies and cards need to be made, like Gondwana card, like NWR card.
Mm.
Like, those are beautiful initiatives to support our people consumption, because people want to consume this type of thing, but unfortunately they can't afford them.
Yeah.
So it needs a strategy. It needs to be supplemented.
Mm.
And I can tell you, once you taste it, once you get to sleep, let me just use a fun example. Once you go in a tosha and sleep in those, what, a kamuti sheets or whatever you call it.
Mm.
I don't know the difference between seats and sheets.
Mm.
Once you sleep in those comfy things, bro, I was there by lucky. I was like, yo, where do they buy these type of things? So once you get to experience that type of, you will want to go back.
Yeah.
You will want to grind. You will want to hustle further to afford.
Yeah.
But until you get to experience it, you will not know. Then the second thing is, when I was in Okamata party there, I got to taste how the relatives, they prepare their beef, their meat.
Mm.
It's amazing, bro. Like, for real, I can tell you now, the best people to me when it comes to preparing beef, I can tell you is the hereros.
Mm.
They really, I don't know what they do, and they do not use water as much as I use water, and their beef is just amazing.
Mm. Mm.
And that is cultural tourism. You will taste those food and those different ways of doing things if you visit other people's culture or their village.
Exactly.
And it's really, really rewarding.
Yeah.
But people will not participate in it if they are not being supplemented in terms of their income or how they do things.
Just hold on, continue.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 100 Namibian dollars per month, including VAT for prepaid, or 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit na.paratus.africa for more information. Always
Now, Kanjengo, just as before we end off, I wanted to ask you one question. The fear might have been here, because this is some of the sentiments that even in my discussions with various kinds of tourist operators in this country, noted that Namibia does not actually have the absorption capacity, you know, to try and enjoy the tourist volumes that, let's say, for example, that Thailand can get or that Indonesia can get. Because the discussion had always been, we as a tourist destination is pretty pricey for the outside tourists, even for us, as you have noted, the pricing here locally for locals as well. So do you think we have room for absorption, room to allow for such absorption to take place?
No, the room is there. Look, during COVID, these guys were able to sustain their operation by just pricing differently.
Yeah.
So, as I said, the strategy that government can come up with can now encompass or can now include what can we do about the pricing strategy of our establishment?
Mm.
What can we do to make them price better, to enable people to come through?
Yeah.
So it's all about the pricing strategy. It's all about reducing the cost of doing business in the country for the tourism establishment. And for the cultural tourism, it's even more cheaper, because most of these establishments is just our house.
Yeah.
It's just like our village house. All I need is just to put in a better room that maybe people can sleep in, or there are those that wanna feel also how we sleep.
Yeah.
So it's just to enable me to have certain services like network, roads, and not really tired roads. It's just to make sure that there is a path where people can actually access my house.
Yeah.
So if most of these utilities are there, able to connect the people, just to minimize the cost of a person coming to my village, I don't have to price that harder. That high. People are able to afford.
Yeah.
But it involves now government involvement and the whole strategy of how we can assist the establishment or the people that want to participate in cultural tourism to offer their services, their houses, their establishment at a better rate, because other things like public goods are already supplemented there, and government have a really, really big, like they are making effort in ensuring that the way these people are operating is sustainable.
Mm.
And the cost outlay of offering cultural tourism is not that high, you know?
Exactly.
Most of our grandmothers and other people are willing to talk to people. They are very beautiful, good people from Kunene to the south.
Mm.
If you bring your grandmother there, you only have it just to translate.
Yeah.
You know? So these things just need to be supplemented and awareness being created and the support being offered to people that are willing and people who price better and a lot of people who start to travel because it's affordable.
Exactly. Now, Kanjengo, just on this note, is there currently a monopoly somewhere, somehow, or is it just, you know, anyone can try and try to get in on it? Because you remember just a few years back when people were talking about Airbnb, you know, you remember the hiring service or the aspect of it, where a lot of Namibians actually wanted to tap into that market, because it was just about, you have the power of your smartphone, you just get the application, you have a profile, but then NTB steps in and then tries to regulate a space technically, which is not regulatable, because it's all about people who have homes that want to rent them out for visitors. Is there room? Is there a potential for people for Namibians to try and get back on that space and everyone participating in the same market?
Yeah, and that is now one of the beautiful questions we need to ask some of these regulators. Like, what does really NTB do for the tourism sector?
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to listen to people like, yeah, I can say the word. NTB is useless to them.
Mm.
And I'm not afraid to say that. They were really, really useless when people were under COVID. And they only come to collect their levy. So we need to question some of these levies and some of these regulatory authorities in certain space. Like for us to encourage cultural tourism, you cannot yet tell me that NTB is coming to collect 200 from my house. For what?
Yeah.
just because I afford, I gave people accommodation to listen to my grandmother talk, and now I should give 200 to NTB.
Yeah.
No.
Or you should fill in what's that thing's name, that operator a membership, so that they can also further collect some form of a levy from you. It's not just that you have an establishment, but also that you are operating. And then ultimately, you've got to consider also the other regulations to BIPA and all that. You know, that question, it factors in all to all that paperwork for someone who wants to tap into the market.
And that is now, I said earlier, that is the easiness of doing business.
Yeah.
Like for cultural tourism, you are dealing with us village people. And if you're going to come and tell us, go to BIPA, why can't BIPA come to us?
Yeah.
And Dwight, I'm one of these people. I don't stand up for institutions that I don't see their value.
Mm.
So I'm very sorry to say, I'm not going to say NTB is what. No, I don't see their value in terms of assisting people. I was in Omsati, somewhere deep there in Omsati, where some guys were actually coming up with a pack.
Yeah.
And I asked them, like, okay, are they helping you? Nope. They just want us to register with them, and they are even at window.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Then why do we need them?
Yeah.
If they cannot assist the people who are coming on board. Tourism is very competitive and it's quite expensive to establish a tourism something.
Mm.
And if such a body just wants to collect levies from the people, then I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to be and say we need them. We actually need to liberalize some of these things and let the Ministry of Environment take over and make some of these services really, really available and assist people to participate.
Yeah.
We need to start understanding the concept of the economy differently. And until we understand that there are other sectors that we can tap in, and cultural tourism is one of them, but we cannot subject it to the current norms or to the current structures and rules that we have. It's a different sector, and it needs to be handled differently. And if NTB is going to regulate them, they need to regulate them differently.
Mm.
Because they are not Gondwana, they are not NWR, they are a different species, and they need to be handled with care. You cannot just go there asking levies.
Yeah.
It's a different sector that actually needs to be supported differently.
Exactly, exactly. Now, Kanjengo, just on that last note, is this? Do you have any last thoughts in terms of the discussion or something that you want to share with the listeners?
Look, cultural tourism is quite beautiful, colleagues. I can attest to that. There is so much our culture offering. I want to know about you, colors. Do you even have culture, Dwight? I'm sorry. Like, do you have something that you want me to know?
I'm not going to expand.
So there is so much. Look, I'm a student of history.
Mm.
I grew up listening or reading books on Hendrik Witbooi and all these at the Marere and all these guys and all my Mbukuza Nyemba guys. I grew up listening to such a type of story.
Yeah.
And why should we stop now?
Yeah.
Why can't you visit a certain village and know more about Mandume and know more about Henry and know more about the Nyembas and the Zembas and the difference and why they were such things? And when you are doing that, you are literally supporting those people.
Yeah.
You are literally building an economy for them. Guys, the economy is just not about eating things from China. There is so much that we can also do.
Mm.
Sectors are different. The structure of the economy that we have been taught is what actually blinded us.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, we are not diversifying in other we can offer with a low level of capital.
Yeah.
So we need to open our mind a bit. We need to be open. We need to look within ourselves, within our country. What can we do? What can we offer? How can we assist each other? This thing of supporting local also, we need to understand it. Supporting local is also you participating in this type of thing that offer income to your other people, to your colleagues. If they offer something, why go buy a book? If you can just go listen to the story, to the grandmother telling me a beautiful story about how they crossed the Orange River to come into Namibia as Olamas. We just used to hear the Olamo whatever.
Mm.
You can literally go and listen to such stories at a smaller fee, at the comfort of some beautiful stars and beautiful oxygen beyond the tall buildings.
Yeah.
So all those things, they exist in our economy. We just need to explore them.
Exactly, exactly. Kanjengo, on that note, thank you once again for taking the time to share your knowledge, your expertise with us and the listeners out there. I'm saying us now, talking about me as a plural, but thank you once again for coming through.
All right, man. That sounds like I have something, man. But yeah, thank you for letting me talk, bro.
No problem.
All right.
And on the right there, it brings us up into the last 5 minutes on today's discussion, guys. And for that matter, in with regards to here on the business and economic zone discussion, it's key in terms of the, as Kanjinga noted there, how rapidly or the diversification that can be applied in the overall discussion with regards to reviving the tourism industry. Now, the tourism industry can never be operated with, you know, in an isolated sense, as he mentioned just there, but it was more in the sense of Namibia. The tourism sector can never be in isolation. What I mean actually also internationally, because you have the connecting or the dot connecting or the airport connecting infrastructure known as air travel. And it's, and, you know, the various kinds of visitors that you can enjoy to your country, because it's not just about leisure travel. It's also the business travel for that matter. Now, ultimately, the recently ended NIPDB's participation at the World Expo was one of such prospects, one of such endeavors in order to showcase Namibia's, what Namibia has to offer, who Namibia is, where Namibia is, what do people do in Namibia. Was there ever a country like Namibia before the World Expo for that matter? But ultimately, it was the platform to advertisers. It was not just a platform about advertising what products we can produce, manufacture, or serve. As you heard what Kanjinga said, it's not just about taking a look at what is being manufactured or constructed or, you know, put together. It was a question also about what is there to offer other than products? What is there to offer in terms of a type of society as Namibians? Now, on that note, I do hope that you find yourself warm wherever you are, that you are comfortable wherever you are, because we are almost 2 minutes out from the end of tonight's discussion point. However, stay tuned, as the rest of the programming is still to follow on after the, you know, after we end for tonight. And on that note, I welcome into the studio, well, it's not a she, it's a he. It's a he standing in for she.
Thank you.
It's Senor Baby. How are you doing?
All good. How are you?
I'm all right, man.
Yeah.
So I know some of the listeners would have been surprised to hear a he and not a she.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty loud she.
Yeah.
She is, you know.
Quite... Yeah, they would have been like, okay, that's not a she.
Yeah, that's not a she.
Yeah.
People are pretty mellow here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bass going about here.
That doesn't sound like she at all.
There's a lot of testosterone coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of that, what do you think, if I can ask for your, you know, just your take, baby, yeah, on this regard with Namibian tourism, or actually cultural tourism? Because mm-hmm. cultural tourism is about taking the various groups in our country and what each of them can offer with regards to a visitor. I'm not talking about a foreigner coming here.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a gold mine that needs to be tapped into?
I'm not sure about a gold mine, since I don't remember the last time I looked at the statistics of how much we can make from that. But I know someone who makes jewelries from from the shell of ostrich eggshells. She says very well. That's what she does for a living, basically. Yeah. And she seems to be doing better than I do.
Mm. Is this now currently happening?
No, she has been doing that for a while now.
All right.
Yeah, for the past 4 or 5 years.
All right, that's good.
And now I think if she can do better than that, that means there are a lot, there are a lot of, most of our visitors appreciate our culture. So I think that, you know,
the gold
culture,
mine is there.
The gold mine is there. The possibilities are there.
Exactly. Yeah. And on that note, guys, I'm signing out. He's signing in. And on that note, enjoy.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnijding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or The Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.